In today's gospel, at his baptism, the Father reveals Christ as his beloved Son. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The people were filled with expectation. And all were asking in their hearts whether John the Baptist might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Back in the 1870s, there was a famous, maybe infamous is a better word, bandit working out in the Midwest whose name was Black Bart. That was the name given to him. His real name was Charles Bowes. He became famous, so to speak, for robbing Wells Fargo stagecoaches. First time he robbed a stagecoach, he just put a simple flour sack over his head, cut the eyes out, cut the mouth out, stopped the stage. Everybody remarked, though, how polite he was. As he was robbing them, he was very, very polite. In fact, he left them a poem. That was one of his trademarks. Anytime he robbed a stage, he'd leave a poem. Another time, he stopped a stage, and this time the stage had a shotgun rider. And the guy was going to protest, but Black Bart pointed up to the hills, and when the guy looked up, he saw all of Black Bart's gang up there with rifles pointing down, so he obviously didn't protest too much. But later on, when the police showed up, went up into the hills, what did they find? Tree branches. That's what his gang had been holding up there, tree branches. Looked from a distance like rifles, but they were just tree branches. Finally, when they found out, the police found out where his hideout was, and they broke in and arrested him, they were very surprised. The little shack was filled with books. Apparently, Black Bart was an avid reader, very well-read, very learned for his time. The other thing they found was that he had a little chair and a table right next to the fireplace there, and on that table was a Bible. Very well-worn, very well-used Bible. Black Bart, apparently, was a God-fearing man who read his Bible regularly, and robbed stages. Now, how did he reconcile his faith in God with robbing people of their money? I'm not sure. But one thing that story does is to cause us, hopefully, to reflect a little bit on what it means for us to be believers, disciples. To reflect on that, especially today on the feast of the baptism of the Lord. Because the feast of Christ's baptism should cause us to ask ourselves the question, what does my baptism mean? What does baptism mean for me? And maybe we can understand that a bit if we look at the very reason why Christ went down to the Jordan River to be baptized. Why did he get baptized? This was a real problem for the early church. He didn't need to have sins washed away like we do. He didn't need to receive the life of God like we do. He was the sinless, divine Son of God. So we see the puzzlement that would have for the early church. We see it even in today's gospel, for example. John the Baptist is saying to people, I'm only baptizing you with water, but somebody's coming after me who's greater than I, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In fact, in the other gospels, in the Gospel of St. Matthew in particular, John the Baptist kind of protests having to baptize Christ. He says in the Gospel of St. Matthew, why are you coming to be baptized by me? I should be baptized by you. Christ says, well, let it be for now. You'll understand later. But you see, it was a real question in the early church. Why would he go down to get baptized? And I think when we understand the reason, it helps us to understand what our own baptisms are supposed to mean. Jesus went down to the Jordan River to get baptized because that was his way of dedicating himself to obey the will of the Father. That was his way of committing himself to do what the Father was asking him to do. That was the moment when he said to God his Father, Father, I will always do your will. And when we stop to think a bit about that dove who appears over Jesus as he's baptized, if we think about it a minute, that should remind us of a similar scene in the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. We're told there that before God created, there was simply a great empty void full of chaotic water. Now remember, the cosmology of the ancient Israelites didn't have the benefit of our knowledge about the universe. They depicted things before creation as kind of a big empty waste bowl void full of all these churning chaotic waters. But the Spirit of God hovers over the waters in the book of Genesis. Spirit of God hovers over the waters, and then God creates. Through the power of the Spirit, God creates everything. So when you and I see the Spirit of God, that same Spirit of God hovering over Christ, what should that suggest to us? That in Christ, God is going to create again. God is going to institute a new creation, a renewed creation, through his servant who's dedicating himself to do his will. He will begin a new creation. The prophet Isaiah foretold it. He said, God says through him, behold, I am creating a new heaven and a new earth. The things of former days will not be remembered. So you see, Christ is the beginning of a new creation. He comes into the world to obey the Father and re-establish the world the way God intends it to be. It's a new creation beginning in him. And so if we understand that's God's intent, then it should make us realize that our baptism makes us participate in that same will of the Father. When you and I are baptized, we become a new creation ourselves. We have life, human life, but then in baptism we receive Christ's own life. We become a new creation. God creates us anew, gives us a new purpose, a new meaning. And if we're a new creation, then it means we, with Christ, are supposed to be about creating a new world. That's the meaning of your baptism and mine. We, with the life we're given in baptism, are meant to create a new world. That's your vocation and mine, to create a new world the way God wants it to be. St. Paul says it in the letter to the Romans. He says, you've been buried with Christ in baptism so that you might live a new life with him. That new life means recreating the world, letting God use us to make the world what he wants it to be. Would you like to live in a world there is no war? You'd like to live in a world where people don't starve to death? I don't know if you've seen any of the pictures recently from Afghanistan. Whatever we think of the years of war there and who's responsible for what, the blame, plenty of blame to go around, right now, 1 million children in Afghanistan are starving to death. 1 million children, innocent children, really, starving to death because of the sins of their fathers and mothers. Would you like to live in a world where that doesn't happen? Would you like to live in a world where truth is important, where people aren't lying all the time for their own personal gain? I'd like to live in a world where everybody is respected because they're a son or a daughter of God. That's the kind of world God wants. That's the kind of world he wants to reestablish, means to reestablish in Christ. Christ starts that new world. And it's to be extended through you and me. We who are new creations have that same vocation to build the new world of God. Let Christ build that new world through us in the power of the Spirit. I'm reminded of a wonderful little story you might have heard before about this old country backwoods preacher. Every Saturday, he'd go down to the river. And anybody who wanted to get baptized would go down to the river, and he'd bring them in the water and dunk them under the water, give them baptism. So it's Saturday, he's down there, this particular Saturday, and at the very same time, out in the woods, not too far from the river, there's another man. He's a moonshiner. Every Saturday, he goes down to the woods and fires up his still to make moonshine. Of course, when he's making the moonshine, he has to test it to make sure that it's right quality, right? So very often on those Saturdays, he's down there making moonshine. He gets a little shine on himself, if you know what I mean, you know. So anyway, this particular Saturday, there's the preacher down at the river baptizing people, and the moonshiner hears something going on, so he looks out through the trees and he sees this thing going on down the river. So because by this time he's not too with it, so to speak. He decides he's going to go down and see what's going on. He goes down to the river, and he's standing there, and he gets in line. Next thing he knows, he's standing right next to this preacher out in the middle of the river, up to his chest in water. Preacher looks at him and he says, brother, do you want to find Jesus? The guy says, yes, I do. Preacher takes him, dunks him under the water, brings him up. Brother, did you find Jesus? Man looks at him and says, no, I didn't. Preacher says, thinks to himself, what's wrong here? Dunks him down again, right? Pushes him back under the water. Holds him a little longer. Brings him up. Brother, did you find Jesus this time? No, I didn't. Now, the preacher's getting rather upset at this, you know? So he puts him down under the water, holds him there for a long time. The poor guy's arms are flailing up and down. He can't breathe. His feet are coming out of the water, you know, the whole thing. Brings him up. He's sputtering, you know, coughing. He says, brother, for the love of God, tell me you found Jesus. The guy looks at him and says, are you sure this is where he fell in? Well, here's the point. Not so much whether we find Jesus, so to speak, but whether we let Jesus find us. Do we let Jesus find us and use us continue his work in us to recreate the world. We receive baptism once, where we receive the life of Christ. But that has to be lived out every day. And what it means, what we should never forget, is our vocation is to change the world. How does that happen? One person at a time, one situation at a time, one moment at a time, in your home, at school, place of work, any place we find something that's contrary to the kingdom of God, we try to change it, recreate it, because that's our vocation, to recreate the world. So as we gather here today, rejoice in the gift that we've been given, the new creation we are. You know, when you were baptized on that very day, God said to you, "You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter." He said that to each of us. But that means that with Christ, we must remember we are about the recreation of the world. May God bless you.